Blog Talk Radio.
Regroup and be still in the Lord. So we weren't live last Thursday, which was the fifth Thursday. But also what I found out is that the fourth Thursday, that many did not catch the show. I heard that many did not get their reminders, their email blasts, their text blast messages. I did send them out. We did have a show on the first, on the fourth Thursday, so I'm not quite sure what the technical difficulties were. I know I'm an Apple client, and so or Mac, and I know that they had a lot of upgrades and different things that was going on, so that could be why many of you or some of you did not receive a reminder of the show on, and I think that was October the 22nd. So not to panic, it was an amazing word, and tonight as I prepared or I got ready to prepare for the show on tonight, I heard the Holy Spirit say, no, I'm not giving you nothing else new. You're going to allow them to hear what they've missed on the 22nd. So it's a great word. Oh, my gosh, it blessed me. I've listened to it a couple of times, and my prayer is that it blesses you, encourages you, inspires you as it has me. So that's what we're going to do. So that's a special treat on tonight that we're going to be doing. And, again, I pray that it will bless you as it blessed me. And then I'll come back towards the end of the show, and we'll take in some questions or, you know, any comments as it pertains to this message. So, again, I pray that this message bless you. Just get relaxed, get somewhere comfortable, somewhere where you can't be distracted by outside interference. This word, if you're on this call tonight, this word is for you. He had it just for you, amen? So enjoy this word. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet believe. And so, again, the show title is I Seen It Before I Saw It. And we're going to talk about that tonight. And I'm saying that I'm gonna release you guys in 30 minutes. I don't think it's going to take more than 30 minutes for the Holy Spirit to convey what it wants to convey to us on tonight. I'm ready for it, and I hope that you are ready for it as well. But I think it's going to be a yummy, quick snack food. It won't probably be a whole meal, but it's definitely going to be an appetizer. And I think that we'll be able to walk away on tonight and take something from it. And that's the goal. I mean, the goal is on Thursday night that we don't just come in and do church as usual, that we don't just come in and do fellowship as usual, that we don't just come in and do Bible study as usual. The Bible, the Word of God says you can't, you know, we're not supposed to take anything from it or add anything to it. And that's definite. I believe that when we read the Word of God, we got to be able to see it. We have to be able to see the Word of God. We have to get revelation knowledge. If you've been listening to my shows, you always hear me say, Lord, we need revelation knowledge. We need that tangible word. We need the rhema, not the logos. We need to be able to see it. And we've been doing church for a long time. We are the church, okay? We are the church. I, Coach D, you, we're the church. But we've become accustomed to, when we say church, we're not talking what the word says that we are the church. When we say church, we've come accustomed through our culture, our authority, our influence of talking about a building of people. Okay? And so we've been playing church. We've been doing church for a long time. And many of us have sat in churches for years or most of our whole life. I know people that said, this is not my story, but I know people who have been gone to church since they were really little kids, and they had to go on, you know, Sunday mornings, and then they had to come back on Sunday afternoon, and then they had to be there on Sunday evening, and then they had to come back on Wednesday. I mean, you know, they were in church three or four times a week, and they said, man, they were just in church, in church and totally unconscious. Not under really having a full understanding, not seeing what they saw. You know, they just couldn't see what God was saying, but they were yet in church, and many of them fell away from the church. As they got older, they had already made up their minds that I'm not going to when I get old enough to do what I want to do, ain't nobody going to tell me to go to church. I ain't going to church. And how many? Then they spend a whole many, no telling how, you know, they spend 10, 20, 30, 40 years in the wilderness. Because they went from forced to going to church, not having a clear understanding, not being able to see, And then when they got to a point where they could make their own decisions, church was the last place they wanted to be. Many times the kids seen the hypocrisy. They seen the hypocrisy. They seen some of the foolishness that we now as mature adults realize that we couldn't judge the whole church based on some of the things we seen. But those people flew away from the church and they ended up in the wilderness. And again, some spent 10 years and 20 years, 30, 40 years. And guess what? Some are still out there in the wilderness. They haven't returned yet. So we're going to keep praying for those of us who have not returned yet, for those who have not returned, for those who still are holding on to the past of a child, and they're holding on to it in the now, and thus they don't like the church. They don't want to go back to church. They, you know, the old reverend stole their money, stole their grandma's money. The old reverend stole their grandma's money, and they won't go to church to this day because of what the old reverend did in 1932 to their grandma. They're still holding on to the passions of that pain. Amen. And so, Lord, I don't know where the Lord is taking me, and even with me saying, I'm just allowing him to use me. So if you guys are just allowing him to use me on tonight as well and keep me lifted in prayer, that I'll stay focused, that I'll stay on course of what it is that he wants delivered to you on tonight. So, again, I think I started by saying that we've been playing church for a long time, and many of us did not have the vision. How do we know that we did not have the vision, that the church had lost the vision? And we know that because Proverbs 29 and 18 tells us, where there is no vision, the people perish, the people cast off restraint. Ooh, I'm going to use different versions, have different, I'm going to use this one that says, where there is no vision, the people cast off restraint. Cast off restraint. I see this to say restraint. Restraint, they could be seen as negative, and restraint could also be seen as positive. When we get in the car and we put on our seatbelts, that's a restraint. It's to keep something in place. And that's a positive restraint because we know if we had an accident without the seatbelts, we're finding that people are ejected out of their car. More death is not due to the crash, but it's due to the ejection of the body out of the car or the body flying into the windshield. And so when I read this, it says the people, where there is no vision, the people cast off restraint. What that says to me is that the restraint of there's some, to live holy, to live pure, there's a restraint. You have to have, you know, there's restraint. You know, you're restraining yourself. I'm not going to just act like this. Why? Because I'm not going to act like this because it's immoral to act like this. I'm not going to say this because I know that it's not pleasing. I'm restraining myself. I know it's not pleasing for me to do this. I know it's not pleasing for me to act like this. So I have some restraint. I'm restraining myself. And so when we lose vision of who God is, when we lose vision of what God's purpose is, and when we lose vision on what the purpose God has for our lives, then we begin to cast off restraint. And we cast off restraint because now we do what we want to do versus what God wants us to do. We go where we want to go. We say what we want to say. There's no restraint. I will cuss you out because why? Because you parked in front of me. I'm hungry, and so I don't have any money, so I'm going to go steal this. Why? Because I don't have any money or because I want steak, but I have enough money for hamburgers. You get what? So we lose restraint. We lost vision, and we see it in the earth today that there's no vision. Why? We see we see there's no restraint. We see people warring and rioting. We see race riots. We see economic, social riots. We see petitioning. We see people living however they want to live. We come into a culture that says, it's your thing. Do what you want to do. I can't tell you. See, we're doing what we want to do. We're not doing what God has called us to do. And so there's no restraint because there's no vision. And so tonight's show, I believe that God is trying to get us to get our vision back. He wants us to get our vision back. Why? Because we need restraint. Because without the restraint, we perish. We die. We die. We die. We die. And you're only going to die so long spiritually before it begins to cause a physical death. You're only going to die for so long spiritually before it begins to affect you physically. So we die, and so we need to get our vision back so that we could get the restraint, so that we could get lined up, so that we could begin to do what God is telling us to do. In fact, without clear spiritual vision from God's word, we will easily miss the mark. We will easily swerve. We will easily deviate from God's way. Without clear spiritual vision, it's easy for us to sin. If sin becomes easy, it becomes repetitious. Sin is repetitious. Sin then becomes easy. Once sin has become easy, then sin becomes a pleasure. And when sin becomes a pleasure, sin happens often. And when sin happens often, sin is now a habit. So now you live in a life, you have backslid, and you live in a lifestyle of sin. And if you're not careful, you become numb to it. And the word of God tells us that when we get out of order, He's given us every warning. He's given us every tool. He's given us every vision for us to get back on track. Because what happens is when we don't get back on track and we begin to rebel, if we're not careful, God will turn us over to a reprobate mind. And I believe that to be that we become numb. We become numb to the sin in our life. And now for us, it's just a lifestyle. We don't even, now when we first started doing it, we was like, ooh, I shouldn't be doing this. Ooh, Father, help me. I don't want to do this no more. Help me, Lord. And then if we keep doing it, the more we do it, the more comfortable it becomes. And I'm going to give the true life story on that because I could think of there was a particular show that when I watched it the first couple of times, it didn't sit well with my spirit. It just did not. And I made a decision. I made a conscious, righteous decision. Righteous means right choice to not watch this show. But then I heard everybody around me just kept talking about how good it was, how good it was, how good it was. So I would sneak and watch it every now and then. I got my sneak and watch it. I'm not gonna get addicted to it, but I'm just gonna sneak and watch it. Don't nobody know I'm in here in the privacy of my own home. You don't know. And before I know it, I'm rushing home on Wednesday night to see this show. It comes on at 8 o'clock. I'm rushing home to get to see this show, even though initially this show grieved my spirit. And then I began to watch this show. Now, this show now, it was repetitiously. Now I'm coming in on Wednesdays to watch it. You see where I'm going? Now this show, it was easy to watch it. I didn't have the same conviction that I initially had. And then watching it, now I knew all the characters. I began to begin to understand the characters. Now it became pleasurable watching this show. And then now it's easy. Hey, I'm rushing through traffic like trying to get home so I don't miss this show on Wednesday night. It's a habit now. It's a habit. It's a habit now for me that I was watching this show. It was a habit. I no longer have the convictions of it. And you see how easy sin will begin to, you see how subtle that was? When we don't be obedient when it first convicts us. And so it was so subtle. It was easy for me to swerve. I had, it was clear that I had lost the spiritual vision from God's word that told me why, that convicted me. See, it's God's word on the inside of us that convicts us when we do things on the outside or when we think a certain way. It's God's word that convicts us. It's God's word that says, you know, But my word says this, you shouldn't do this. You know, my word says do not commit adultery. You know you shouldn't be sleeping with this person and you're not married. My word says to not don't covenant your neighbors, but yet and still, how many of us see our neighbors get a new house or a new car or get something new, and now we praying and asking God why we can't get it or we want to get it or they got this one, so I got to go get something better. That's covenant. We covenant, our neighbor stuff. So those are the things that we begin to do when we start losing the vision of God's word. We'll begin to deviate from God's way. 1 Timothy 1:6, it tells us this. It says, because John saw such a spiritual vision of the testimony of Jesus, he was willing to suffer for what he saw, becoming a fellow partaker in the tribulation and kingdom and endurance in Jesus because of the word of God and the testimony of Jesus, Revelation 1:9. So it's saying that we got to keep a spiritual vision. And I know I'm saying this, stay with me because I'm going to get to how do we do that? How do we stay focused? How do we understand what we're reading? How do we get revelation knowledge of what we're reading and not just reading the logos, not just reading the does and the thys and therefores and therewith? We want to be able to read the word of God and we want it to become life. We want the word to come off the pages. We want to be able to see what God is saying. We got to get a clear perception of what God is saying. If you've been following me, you know I've spoke this before, and I'm speaking it again, and God has just given me a different direction to speak it. I'm thinking about Noah. God gave Noah instructions, right? So you think God has given Noah instructions, but we know that God had just stepped down from heaven and where Noah could see him visually, and he gave him instructions. So I'm thinking while God is speaking to Noah through these dreams, visions, and ideas, Noah had to see it before he saw it. Look how many years it took him to build the ark. But he had to see it before he saw it. Think about the woman with the issue of blood. She had an issue with blood for 12 years in her culture. That was not a good thing. She was seen as unclean. She was diseased. People didn't want to be around her. I'm sure whatever friends she had, the ones that would even stick around, they wasn't coming to see her. I can imagine, I could just envision them sitting stuff on her porch and keep you pushing. We're not going, like the corona. We social distancing. We're not coming around you. We know you're over there sick. We'll drop you off some split pea soup, but we're not going to stick around and fellowship with you. And just think about her, getting tired after 12 years, and she had to see her healing before she saw it. She had to desire that thing. She had to see herself whole. She had to see, man, what would it be like? I could see myself not having to have the inconvenience of bleeding, not having to have the inconvenience of soiling my clothes, not having to have the inconvenience of not being able to go to the local market, not being cast away from society. She had to begin to see herself free. She had to begin to see herself free to even take the calculated risk that she did to touch the hem of his garment. See, that she took a risk, but she seen it so much in her mind. She seen the outcome. She seen the end. She seen the end. She seen herself whole, and she was willing to take whatever risk it was going to take for her to touch the hem of his garment, because she was convinced that what she seen in the spiritual realm, in the thoughts of her mind, that she knew that it was going to manifest in the natural. Tonight, I'm asking you, what are those things inside? What are those dreams or visions inside of you? Are you really seeing it? Because I'm going to tell you, if you're not doing it, it's because you're not getting a clear vision. You're not really seeing it. Because when we really see it, we will step out and do it. There's something about seeing it on the inside and truly seeing it that makes you take action on the outside. So if you're not walking in your dreams and your visions, if you're not pursuing them, if you're not doing your research and development, if you're not knocking on doors, if you're not asking questions, if you're not seeking, you're not finding because you're not seeking, you're not receiving because you're not asking, doors are not opening because you're not knocking on them. Why? Because you don't have a clear vision. You don't have a clear vision. So it's hard when you don't have a vision to manifest on the outside. If you sit in your brain and the thoughts of your mind and you get a vision that's blurred, you can't really see it clear. So all of a sudden you see this BMW 750, and I'm talking material. Why I'm talking material? Because people understand material. Not because you got to be materialistic, but people understand when you're talking material. But if you see this BMW and it's a 750 series and it's a 2000 and let's say it's a 2020, 2018, and you got a vision, it's blurred. You could kind of see it. You see it just enough to know that it's a BMW 750, but you don't see the tires. You can barely see the front emblem of the car. You can't see the wind. You got a blurred vision. But then if you really begin to get a vision on the inside of that thing, I see it right now. It is black on black. I can see the rims on it. I can see the inside interior. I can see the dashboard and everything that's on it. I'm starting to get a clear picture of this thing right now. So now I know what I'm looking for. I know what I want. So now because I know what I want and I see it so clear on the inside, guess what I'm going to do? I'm going to hit the dealership. I'm going to hit every BMW dealership within a 20-mile radius, a 30, 40-mile radius, because now I'm getting ready to start pricing this thing. Matter of fact, in this day and age with technology, I ain't even got to hit the dealership. I could go online and I could Google local BMW dealership, and they'll pull it up. And guess what? Technology would have it now that I can go in there and I can begin to build my car. So I'm gonna get the base. The base is a BMW 750, and that's the base. Now I can add in there what color interior, what color outside, what do I want this package? Do I want the sunroof with the lights and the blings and the beams and here and there? So you know what I'm talking about. You could go in there and you begin to design it. Why? I would have never been able to design it if I didn't see it on the inside. I seen it on the inside. I knew what I want. So now I'm researching. I'm doing my research and development. Where are they at? What's the going price? Now I'm looking at the price. The prices run from this to this. So now I see I got a price range. I see. So now I see what I'm working with. So now I see what I need to work towards. If I know that this is the price range, then I got to work towards it. See, but it all started on the inside. That desire, that dream started on the inside. And but because it was so strong and I began to get a clear picture on the inside, now I'm causing it to manifest on the outside. Why? Because I'm moving. I'm picking up my feet and I'm moving. We say, you know, I want to go to college. I want to get a degree. I want to do this. I want to do that. And as long as you just want it and you don't see it on the inside, it'll never manifest on the outside. Because you're not going to take any, because it may just not be a strong enough desire. But if you can't see it on the inside, you can't do it on the outside. We can't do what we can't see. Can't do what we can't see. We also need to receive spiritual vision to the extent that it revolutionizes us. Okay? Now, I gave you, don't get it mixed up. I gave you an example from a materialistic standpoint because you understand that. You understand that. But see, just like you was able to understand that, oh, I got to get this in the inside of me so I can manifest it on the outside of me, you got to understand it from a spiritual. You got to receive such a visual, spiritual vision to the extent that it revolutionizes us, controls us, directs us, preserves us, and keeps us in the straight way of the Lord. So you got to be able to see the Lord's word. It's got to be clear and concise. When you read in the word and it says you could do all things through Jesus Christ who strengthens you, you're supposed to see that. That ain't just supposed to be I-A-D-O, A-L-L, T-H-I-N-G. It should not be like that. But when you say, when you read that word that I can do all things through Jesus Christ who strengthens me, you're supposed to begin to see yourself doing all things. You're supposed to be able to see yourself being able to lease buildings in a single bond. You're supposed to be able, you know, you're supposed to, all of a sudden, you're supposed to be seeing yourself like Wonder Woman or Spider-Man. You could climb buildings now. You could leap over, you know, leap over walls. You're supposed to be able to see this thing manifest. When I read, I could do all things that Jesus Christ has blessed me. I'm starting to see businesses. I'm starting to see nonprofits. I'm starting to see blog talk radio. I'm starting to see these things I could do that I didn't think I could do, but because the Word of God says I could do all things with Jesus Christ who strengthens me, then I know when life get hard, it does get hard. And I'm not gonna say when it get hard that we don't go through. I go through. Life get hard. Things happen in life. Disappointment, setback, upset. But guess what? The thing that keeps me, even when I have to go through the wilderness, the thing that keeps me pushing and struggling and crawling to get back to where I was is that I could do all things through Jesus Christ who strengthens me. I'm going to keep going. I'm going to keep going. Why? Because greater is Jesus in me than the upsets in the world and the evil in the world. So because of those, and believe me, I ain't just talking it. Honey, there's some days where I got to keep quoting those things to me because they got to be real. I got to see them on the inside. Why? Because right now I'm in a situation that it needs to manifest on the outside. I'm in a situation that I need to push. I'm in a situation that I need not to quit, that I need not to give up. Even when things look rough, even when things are hard, even when things are stressful, I need to push. How do I push? I push by telling myself that God is working all things together for my good. Why? Because I love him and I'm called according to his purpose. You see what I'm saying? So that's on the inside of me. Those are not just words. That's my motivational force. When I say those things, I believe them. I see them. And because I see them, I can do them. Because I see them, I can keep pushing. Because I see I'm not going to commit suicide. Because I see I'm not going to shoot up no drugs. Because I see them, I'm not going to just be laying up with everybody having sex outside of marriage. Because I see them and they're real to me, I could do them. I could do them. And you can do them. But it's got to become something you can see on the inside. It's got to be rhema. It's got to be rhema. Amen? It's got to be rhema. It says again that spiritual vision to the extent, hear me, to the extent, meaning you got to embrace the word. It's got to become so real to you that it revolutionizes you, that it controls you. It's got to dictate. It's not to control you. You know what it means to control. You know, men, y'all always come out, your wife or your girl, she too controlling. She too. Well, you know what? The word of God should be controlling like that. It should control you. It should direct you. It should preserve you when you're going through and you ain't having peace. It should bring you peace. It should keep you. It should keep us on the straight way. It should keep us heading towards the Lord. It should keep us vertically aligned. It should keep us vertically aligned. So now, after seeing all of this, how do we do this? How can we receive such a heavenly spiritual vision to govern and direct our Christian life? How can we stay on track? How can we stay on track? That's the question. All that above sounded good. All of that sounded good, but I'm going to give you three key principles here, three key things right here, and supporting scripture of how we get this vision. How do we get this spiritual vision? Number one, first we need to receive a spirit of wisdom and revelation. We need to receive a spirit of wisdom and revelation. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 17 says that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the full knowledge of him. So we need a spirit of wisdom and revelation, and we get that through the full knowledge of Jesus Christ. How do we get that? Through the word. We get the knowledge of Jesus Christ through the word of God. And so with that means that as we begin to read and we pray, you know, when I read one of my prayers is at, right before I get ready to read the word, one of my prayers is, Lord, what do you have for me? What do I need to get out of this? I don't want to just read it. I don't want to just go to sleep. What is it that you need for me to get out of this world? Where are you taking me? What do you want me to read today? What do you need me? My thing is, what do you need me to know? What do you need me to know? So we need spirit of wisdom and revelation. We need to pray and be asking God for wisdom and revelation, and we get that through his word, but we need him to reveal it to us. Revelation knowledge, we need him to reveal it to us. So when we go into his word, we're asking, Father, by your spirit, reveal to me, what is this that you need me to know? What's the wisdom that I need to pull out of this? Again, we need to receive a spirit of wisdom and revelation. That's number one. Number two, second, we need to have the eyes of our heart enlightened. Ephesians 1:18 tells us, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, and ye may know what is the hope of his calling and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. I'm going to read that again. Ephesians chapter 1, 18. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. We need to know, what is God's hope for us? What is the hope of his calling? If he's calling you, what is his hope for you? What has he created you to be? What has he created you to do? What's your mission? What's your purpose here? Don't think for one minute he just put you here to breathe oxygen. Don't think for one minute he just put you here to see how much stuff you could get before you leave here. Just eat and sleep and slumber. That's not why he put you here. You're here for a purpose, and you're sitting on it. Because you don't have eyes of your heart. The eyes of your heart haven't been enlightened. Why? Because you don't have the spiritual vision. You don't have the spirit of wisdom and revelation. You can't see. You can't see it. So you can't do it. Didn't see it, and you ain't gonna saw it. You didn't see it, and you ain't gonna saw it. Ain't that some language for you? But that's okay. Sometimes you gotta put in the double negatives, and you gotta be grammatically incorrect for people to get it. I just want you to get it on tonight. Get it, got it, good. The third and last point, and then we're gonna bring this on home. The third point, we need light for the illumination of the things that are unveiled to us. We need light for the illumination of the things that are unveiled to us. Spiritual light, so that we may have vision. You've got to have spiritual light so that you can begin to see the vision. You see it, you got to see it. And thank God that God is the light. According to 1 John 1 and 5, this then is the message that I have with you on tonight, which we have heard of him. This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. God is light and in him is no darkness at all. We need spiritual light so that we may have vision. I'm saying that again. We need spiritual light so that we may have vision. God is light, and in him is no darkness. In other words, if you ain't got God, you ain't got light. If you ain't got God, you ain't got light, and there ain't but one God. There's a whole lot of little G's, but there's only one big G. There's only one creator of heaven and earth. There's only one creator of the universe and his God. And whether you call him God or you call him Jehovah, Yah, it's only one God. And he is the light. and in him is no darkness. And we need spiritual light, because if you don't have spiritual light, you're not going to have spiritual vision. And if you don't have spiritual vision, you won't have restraint. Ooh, think about it. Look at the world around you. I'm not just telling you something in my opinion. I'm not just sitting up here preaching. I'm not just sitting up here saying some stuff. It's reality right now. In your natural vision, you can look around and you see a fallen world. You see a world that's firing out of control. It has no restraint. It has no restraint. Why? Because it has no spiritual vision. It has no spiritual vision. Why? Because it has no God. Because if it had God, then it would have light. If it had light, then it has spiritual light. If it has spiritual light, then it's going to have spiritual vision. And if it has spiritual vision, it wouldn't be perishing. That's the end of the story on tonight. That's it. That's all. It's not deep. It's not something that we can't understand. It's not something that we can't perceive. It's simple. If you're not connected to the vine, then you're not going to be able to get the spiritual vision you need. And if you can't get it on the inside, you can't do it on the outside. Ain't no way in the world that God called us to this earth as ambassadors for us to sit around, woe is me, get caught up in all this stuff, just all this worldly stuff that's going on that's consuming our lives. We're scared to eat. We're scared to drink. We're scared to go somewhere. We're scared to go to church. We're scared to preach. We're scared to teach. We're scared. We're just scared. And why? Because we don't have the vision. We don't have the vision.
Amen.
We don't have the vision. Tonight's message, I don't know that it blessed you, but it definitely spoke to me. The Spirit of God was very clear in what he was saying about the vision and why we all are here and we have a purpose, and that we cannot do what we cannot see, and that we have to get the vision. We have to get the light. We see it around, and we cannot be consumed with the cares of this world. We are not from this world. We are only here momentarily. We are on a visa. We are alien. We have an alien resident card. We're not here forever. We are just merely going through to complete whatever it is that we need to complete so we could get back home. Amen. So I pray that this word blessed you. I pray that you, it's not just a word that you hear, but it's something that you could apply. I pray that it has stirred up something on the inside of you that will cause you to take action and be not just a hearer of his word, but be a doer of his word. We got some kingdom business to handle. The harvest is great, but the laborers are few. And we have kingdom business to do. So whatever you're doing, whatever you consider as your occupation, or your occupation can really become your vocation, because you have to see it that you're not just there to do a job. You are there on kingdom assignment. You are an ambassador, and it's up to you to make sure that you utilize every moment of your day and time to do the will of God. Amen. And sometimes we get off track, and Lord knows I get off track, but I definitely use my occupation to fulfill my vocation. I'm not just there to work, and though I get frustrated and I get agitated and I get angry because of the way things are going, I have to constantly remind myself why God placed me where he placed me. I have to constantly remind myself that I'm there for a purpose, and that if I can make a difference in one person's life, then that's part of my purpose. Amen. So, again, I want to thank each and every one of you for tuning in to this episode of Processing the Pain. Again, I pray that it blessed you. And I'm looking forward to seeing you all next Thursday as we continue this journey, bringing practical principles unto perception based on the Word of God. Know that you are truly loved and appreciated. See you next Thursday. Good night.
surrender.